Hello, Matteo.
Hi.
Welcome to Athens.
Thanks.
Welcome to Comic-Con 2013. And we'll ask you some questions for your fans in Greece, okay?
Yep.
So, my first question is, if you can name us some of your influences.
Okay, talking about specific artists or series?
First, I think better artists. Are there some artists that you follow?
There's plenty, like thousands. But let's say that I'll just say some of the most influence, some of the biggest influence for me. It's been some guys from the past, a couple of Argentinian guys. One of them is Alberto Breccia, mm-hmm. especially the word because he was used to experiment a lot on inks. So especially on Mort Cinder. Another really good guy is Jorge Zaffino, which is another Argentinian guy who worked on The Punisher and on Conan. And speaking about the current artists, there's a lot of them, but basically there's a couple who are friends of mine as well, which are Eric Canete, mm-hmm. which yes. is no longer working for the comic book industry right now, is working for animation. And video game design, and Sean Murphy, mm-hmm. who is working for Vertigo right now. It's working on Hellblazer, Joe the Barbarian, American Vampire.
He's more known.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really good friends, and we share the passion for certain artists, such as Zaffino and Breccia. And he sold me, he's got three originals of Zaffino, he sold me one. So we shared this passion, this very big passion.
About artists, but in the way of artistic styles and schools, mm-hmm. like the Japanese school
absolutely.
Or the European school?
Well, I was raised with a mixed culture, because I started reading comics when I was like 7, 8 years old, and I was used to read Italian comics like Dylan Dog and Tex, which Tex is a Western and Dylan Dog is a horror, and they're pretty Italian. It's really typical Italian.
Sergio Bonelli.
Yeah, the Sergio Bonelli editore.
And I can see there because they're all in black and white.
Yeah, it's black and white, just five or six panels per page. And there's specific rules to tell a story. There's nothing, you know, everything is well explained. There's no, you know, no space for experimental stuff.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's a lot of really amazing artists, all the black and white artists working on it. So it's really inspirational. And let's say on the other side, I was reading manga, like I don't know how to say that in English. It's just Saint Seiya. I don't know. It's the 12, the Zodiac.
Oh yes.
Knights.
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah. And then some stuff, like I remember Slam Dunk. It's a manga about basketball.
Yeah,
and then Vagabond is a manga about a samurai, about the story of a samurai, of a ronin. And as well, I was reading American stuff, like the X-Men in the 90s, where when Jim Lee was...
The heat.
Claremont and Jim Lee on the X-Men, and then it was the X-Force, and then... what else? It was Spider-Man, of course. You know the MacFarlane part. Yeah, the MacFarlane era. And so I've grown up with a lot of different influences, and I think it show up on my pages.
Yes, and I think you're lucky that we can see you have many influences, and you were exposed to many different styles.
Italy
has a huge industry of comics.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's consider
pretty,
yourself lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm being lucky.
Speaking of Italy, one of your big breaks was winning the international competition of Marvel for international artists, the Chester Quest.
Yeah.
What does it take to win in such a competition?
There's not a secret. There's not a specific things that you need. You just talk to them. There's this editor that is doing a world tour. Or of conventions, and you just meet him, and you just show him your work. And if you're one of the best ones, you just win. Is there, there's not a specific suggestion that I, there's not a specific tip that I can give. It's just the typical rules for showing your stuff. So not too much stuff and just your best stuff. So if you're not good, for example, in inking, don't show ink stuff. You know, you just show pencils. There's
your strong points.
Yeah, there's a spot for everybody. Even if you're just a penciler, and yeah, you just be where you are. You know, you just take your best and you show it. Just no more than 10 samples, because it gets too confusing if there's too much stuff. And as much as possible, the thing must be as much as possible all the same style. So you demonstrate that you're affordable. You know, you have your personal style. You keep doing that, and you don't change it by page by page.
And they probably need more pages, not pinups or covers. They need, I think.
Yeah, they want to see that. If you're good with covers, you can show it. You can show them to them, but at the same time, it's harder to get a cover, to get a gig as a cover artist, especially if you're new, you know? So,
breaking. Okay, so speaking of winning at the Marvel Chester Quest, can you tell us about working for an American publisher, mm-hmm. as opposed to the European ones? I don't know if you had a gig in Italy, or
yeah,
you just broke.
Yeah, I had a few gigs in Italy, but mainly for stuff for kids, so it's pretty different. I did something for the Italian market and from the French market, and there's a lot of differences. I mean, in France, I'm talking about France specifically, they really care about the editing part. So every time they want you to correct something, to fix something here and there. Sometimes, if I must be honest, they're a little bit too picky.
Yeah.
Because there's a kind of rule. They have to make you fix something. Even if there's nothing particularly wrong, sometimes they take care about some any not influent things, you know, not important things.
Yes.
To me, this is just my opinion. In the States, they're just more, you know, they just take it easier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. Most of the time, I don't get corrections. They trust more. They're more trustful.
Yeah.
To you, you know, I prefer it. I feel that they trust me, and there's a better relationship.
Yes,
you know?
I think in America the bigger problem is with writers being in continuity and not making mistakes.
It's the thing in general. It works like that for the entire states, the entire United States, not just for comic book, for everything. They have a really good organizations and planning stuff. So everything that comes after is already planned, so it's really difficult that you screw up stuff.
Do something different, not necessarily screw up.
No, yeah, yeah, but in general, everything is pretty clear.
Yeah.
You know where they're going. Everything has been studied really well before, so you get a thing that is already basically done.
Yes.
So you just have to do your job. You don't have to think about anything, and everything's easier. You know, it works better. It just works better.
So speaking of Marvel, and you know, Marvel is 99% superheroes.
Yeah.
are there any superheroes that you would kill to have an opportunity to draw? You know, you want to draw.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'm not a huge fan. Even if I draw superheroes, I'm not a fan of superheroes necessarily. So what I like is if I like the outfit of the superhero. There's some superheroes, especially the Marvel ones, who I really like the outfit of. Like Deadpool, for example, I think he's got a really graphic and cool outfit. Another one is Thor. And a guy who I had a lot of fun working on was the Agent Venom and the Secret Avengers. Because the armor is super cool.
Yeah.
And I prefer it instead of the bulky Venom. They usually use a monster Venom.
Yes.
I prefer it. It was... There's a lot of accessories to draw, so it's pretty hard because there's this white graphic and you gotta work with the lights on it. But at the same time, it's super. The general looking, the general looking of the character is badass. So every time I gotta draw him, it's really fun because you know And most of the time it does action stuff like shooting while jumping and blah blah blah. So it's really fun.
Yeah. So Deadpool, being one of your favorite characters, is also one of the characters you've already worked. So he's right now one of the more popular heroes in Marvel.
And yeah, because he's the most particular, you know?
Yeah,
it's different than everybody else.
And he's known for breaking the fourth wall and having a sense of humor and more like a satire.
Yeah.
So does an artist need to have a sense of humor to draw a Deadpool, or you get the stuff from the writer and you just go from there?
Yeah.
You put something.
Yeah, you know what? It's the fact is that not being American, you know, I think that Deadpool gives you a lot of freedom, especially when Axel Alonso was editing it, because he really likes the character and really likes mad stuff, like stupid stuff. So you were pretty allowed to do anything fun. So you could even, I think if I wanted, I could have added anything I wanted, just puppet stuff coming out, you know, just for giving some hints, some fun things, you know, to put in some fun stuff in it and add in the fun. But at the same time, even if I go a lot in the States, I'm still not into that culture. So it's different, you know, if you're not, because that's a pretty specific American character.
Yes.
Especially because he followed the TV series, so he follows the gossip.
Yes.
So he's constantly updated about gossip and stuff. So it's different. You know, you live it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. So you just finished your run in Secret Avengers.
Yep.
And we heard from you that you're starting a new series starring the Hulk with Mark Waid.
Yep.
Tell us some things about it.
Yeah, well, we're working on Mark Waid.
It's not indestructible. It's not incredible anymore.
Yeah. So yeah, working on Mark Waid's script is really fun because he's really good. I mean, when you work with a really good writer, it shows up and everything is already there. It's you read the thing and you already imagine it as an artist and you know that he knows, you know. So you
has an encyclopedic knowledge of comics.
Absolutely. And he knows us to tell a story in a really good way, because at the end, if you think about that, everything is already been done. So it's just right now the matter is just putting it from a different point of view and making it interesting, even if you're already seeing it. It's basically just people fighting. Okay. So yeah, and it's he's got a really interesting way to put things, and it's very good. And I'm really having fun.
You planned how many issues
I just started working on it, and I just finished my work on issue number 9, which will be the first on my run.
Yes.
And my run will probably end with issue number 15 or 16, something like that.
I think one of the problems in modern American comics is that they cut the runs too short. I mean, see Jack Kirby did 60 issues, I don't know, Jim Lee 20s. I'd like to see more runs. I don't know if you want to change. I don't know if from the artist's point of view or the editor says, okay, we'll do 2 runs per year and we'll change.
You know what? I think it comes from the situation right now, because when in the 90s, comic books were hop.
Yes.
You know,
they
were selling like millions of copies. And right now, the sales are going down and down and down. So every time, I don't know if you saw that, but even DC is doing that. They're rebooting every series. It's just to catch the reader's attention. But they see that number one is making like 200,000 copies, and then number two is 50,000, and number three is 20,000. So after number 6, they have to do something new to catch the attention, because, you know, as I told you, it's just people fighting. So after a while you get tired, because every character is already dead, and then it resuscitated, and then it reborns, then it dies again, then it reborns.
Yes.
It's all the same story all over and over and over. So people are starting to get really, you know, sick of it. And so there, it's the only way to keep
another
their
artist
attention, to catch their attention,
or a new writer.
And having nice sales, it's just rebooting, you know.
Yes. And so, you know, the format with the 6 issues, the 7 issues, is probably due to the paperbacks that's now the boom.
Yeah, because paperbacks are selling a lot.
Yes.
The small books are not selling good, but paperbacks are really selling good.
Yes. So they have the same style for 6 issues. One artist, it looks better.
Yeah.
So I guess it's one of the reasons.
Yeah. Basically, it's because of that. Because they gotta do that. I don't think they're happy with that, but they gotta do that because they gotta invent something to survive, you know?
Okay. And let's talk about your Kickstarter project, Banana Shake.
Yeah.
It's now on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Tell us a few things about it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the name. Since it's a really strange name, it comes. I've decided for now on to give names of my sketchbooks based on things that happened to me in the while in the States. So Banana Shakes comes from a misunderstanding. Basically, it's there was two guys talking, and two friends of mine talking. And they were talking about a friend who was really upset, and he was bent out of shape.
Yes.
I don't know if you know that term. When somebody is really mad, they say, yeah, it was bent out of shape. And I was in the back of the car. I said, what? What's that? It's banana shake? Because, you know, sometimes they say he went banana. When somebody's getting
crazy,
crazy, go, oh, he's getting bananas.
He's getting bananas.
So
yeah.
For a moment, I thought that he's getting banana shake is like even crazier, you know? So I said, oh, banana shake? And they were like, what? For a moment, we just look in each other's eyes, like, what? I was like, what are you saying? And they were like, what are you saying? It's like banana shake. So we kept it. We just started laughing for like 20 minutes, and then I decided.
The mode of the
So basically, there's just this girl, this naked girl in a sea of bananas, and basically, and it's gonna be a hardcover, 76 pages, and the format is gonna be, the size is gonna be really big. It's gonna be a big book.
Like actual comic pages.
Yeah, probably. Some people really, I cannot tell the it's gonna be like a French book.
An album, yeah.
Yeah, an album. So pretty big. And the cover is gonna smell like banana.
Oh, it scratches.
Yeah, it scratches me thicker, so it's gonna smell like banana.
Yeah, you can read it drinking a banana shake.
Yeah,
even
absolutely.
Better, like
even
interactive comic.
Yeah, just don't drop it on the book.
No, we
so
wouldn't do that.
It gathers all the commissions, all the sketches that I done in the last months, because I'm done a lot. I'm doing a lot of them.
Yeah.
And just to make this, just so you know, it's in 1 month I've already made the math that I will have material for a new sketchbook, and I'm still printing this one.
Yes.
So yeah, I've got a lot of materials too for sketchbooks, and
and many
something that I like doing.
Many artists are doing Kickstarter projects, and why someone should pledge to that? How does it help the artist by pledging money on the Kickstarter? So you,
yeah, it's a way. It's a really smart way to, you know, with all the economical crisis and stuff like that, you gotta find a way to cut some steps in between the seller and the buyer.
Yes.
And Kickstarter is something like that, because you don't have the seller. You're the seller and he's the buyer. Everything is direct.
Yes.
So
no,
you skip. Yeah, and there's no. Usually, when it comes to a commercial thing, a lot of money get lost into the process. And in that way, everything is direct, because I get money from you, and with those money, I will print my stuff.
And so, it's probably even cheaper for the reader.
Yeah, there's no distributor in between. There's no money lost, you know. And it's a direct way to sell stuff, you know, and very 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 fair. There's nothing, you know, nothing legal. And it's a win-win. Everybody's is happy, you know.
Except the intermediates.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, fuck the intermediates, if I can say that.
Yes,
you
can.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Okay, so my final questions, apart from the Hulk and the Banana Shake, are there any other projects in the intermediate future?
Yeah, I'm working on. I'm currently working while working on Hulk. I'm working on another series. It's a short series, it's a 6 issues series. for Skybound, which
it's
basically his image has given Robert Kirkman a specific label to work on,
yeah,
you know?
Imprint, yeah.
So he's publishing like Walking Dead and Invincible, all the best stuff.
Yes.
It's published by Skybound, and Robert Kirkman contacted me to do this series. So yeah, it was fun because, you know, I was checking my email. Let's see, okay, that's Robert Kirkman. Are you sure? Is it him or somebody
else?
So yeah, and he asked me to do that, and basically he's just a supervisor there, and I'm working with another writer who's called Justin Jordan. He's a really good guy. He worked for Image on The Strange Talent of Luther Strode, which was a pretty successful series for Image Comics. And it's a really interesting series, the one that I'm working on with him. It's called Dead Body Road. It's not being announced yet. And it's going to be a thriller, noir story. About it's a everyday story, like it's realistic. It's
no
not
superheroes,
superhero.
No capes, no tights, no capes.
It's guns, it's action, cars, and deserts. Arizona deserts, southern.
Like a western noir.
Yeah, like southern. South United States, and just car chasing and people killing other people. Basically, there's a robbery in a bank, and somebody gets killed who wasn't supposed to be killed. So there's somebody screws up.
Yes.
So there's a lot of guys running against this object of the mystery that's being robbed during the robbery. So nobody knows who's got the thing. So everybody is suspicious about everybody. It's
Reservoir Dogs meet Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, something like that. Really serious, you know. It's a story that talks about pain.
Not over the top, no.
Yeah,
it's
because
realistic.
Basically, yeah, the main character is a ex-cop and his wife was a cop and got killed during this robbery.
Oh.
So he just wants revenge, you know. So
he's trying to chase.
There's like 8 guys who did this robbery, and he's chasing them and killing them, you know, basically. So yeah, it's pretty fun.
Okay, I think that's it. Hope to see you again, Athens.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Bye.